Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I'd like to begin our teaching today by reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. My text is the story of Moses presenting Joshua before the whole of Israel as a replacement for him as their leader. In verse 7, the Bible says, "Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with these people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it.'" That is your assignment. This is why God gave you life. This is why your mother gave birth to you. This is why you have existed up these years, up to this particular point in time. This is why God sustained you in the wilderness. And I said to him, "Be of good courage. Be strong. You must go in with them into this land, and you must cause them to inherit it." Then in verse 8 he says, "And the Lord said, 'He is the one who goes before you.'" Moses was telling him what God told him. "He will not leave you nor forsake you. For that reason," he said, "do not fear, nor be dismayed." Now, I read this portion of scripture to bring forth a number of things in this, our discussion that we started a few episodes ago on this program. Now, please, before I go on, don't forget the fact that there was a sense of purpose here. God said through Moses to Joshua, "I have brought you to this point for this particular level. Therefore, you are not going to allow fear, all right, to cripple you from fulfilling your destiny. And the reason why fear will not be able to attack you is because of knowledge that you have. And what is the knowledge? I have said that I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will go with you. I will defend you. I will help you. I am your strength, your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield and your buckler. I am your high tower. Joshua, this is the reason why you must not be afraid." Please put these things in mind and let us review for a few moments where we were, all right, so that we can continue from there. Now, remember, I started talking about the seven attitudes, all right, that begets failure in life. I explained to us that life has paths, or God has created life in paths. That is, you choose the direction of your life by the kind of moral choices that you are making. We said that you may not be able to tell exactly where your life will end, but at least you have a general idea of the direction you are facing. Whether you are moving in a manner that is pleasing to God, or you are not moving in a manner pleasing to God. Whether you are planning for a short life, or you are plotting for a long life. Whether you are plotting for poverty, or you are plotting for prosperity. And I said that it's not just a matter of desire, it's not just a matter of what you think is right, it's a matter of learning what God says. Because you see, God is the one that designed life, God is the one that designed this existence. He has laws that he made so that this existence will function properly. We cannot make our own laws the way we like. We must learn what God has said. Therefore, Jesus said, "There is a broad way that leads to destruction." That is, people do what they like. Most people are following that particular path and they are going to end up in failure. He said, "But there is a narrow one that is very few people look for this. These ones, you have to search it out. It doesn't come to you naturally. You have to take time out and read a book. You have to take time out and read a Bible. You have to take time out and go to church. You have to take time out and tune in for a radio broadcast. You have to take time out, all right, when everybody's rushing to go and make money. You settle down first and learn what God has said." David said, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God." That is, when everybody is running helter-skelter, chasing about the issues of life, the first thing you do is to settle down and learn. That was why Jesus said, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it." Jesus said concerning Mary, when everybody was running up and down, and Martha, her sister, was concerned that she wasn't running up and down like everybody else. He said, "Mary has chosen the good part." That is, she sat down to learn the word of God from the feet of Jesus. What am I saying, therefore? That we must learn to fashion our lives, all right, in a manner that is pleasing to God, so that failure will not be our portion. And I said that we are discussing seven attributes which are important. All right, I'm not saying these are the only seven things that are wrong, all right, that people must not do, but they are the things that the Holy Spirit has inspired me to talk about in this season. I said seven important attributes that lead to failure. And the first one we have picked, all right, is the matter of fear. I began to talk about fear last time. A number of things we said about fear, very, very important. I said fear is that which prevents us from obeying God. All right, we said fear cripples us from receiving the fullness of God's blessings for our lives. And there's something I said last time, very important. I said fear prevents us from triumphantly dealing with the giants of life. That is, fear makes us afraid, all right, of the giants that we can actually tackle. Don't forget this. You see, the people of the covenant, all right, the nation of Israel, which were, they were a type for us to learn what God is doing from. There was none of them that faced a giant that did not defeat the giant. from Joshua, Caleb, right, down to people like David and the men of David. Every time they faced giants, they defeated the giants. The giants may look tall and terrible, but the fact is that if God is with you, you can defeat the giants. What am I saying? When you are afraid, all right, what might happen? When you are afraid of what might go wrong, when you are afraid of the troubles that life may bring, those are the times when you are unable to receive God's blessings. Now, if you read through the scriptures, now I'm continuing from where we were, that's where we stopped. If you read through the scripture, I searched it, and I discovered that the words like, fear not, do not be afraid, they occur so many times in the Bible. You'll find them scores of times scattered all over the place. It's as if God cannot talk to people without reminding them that they should not be afraid. Do you understand my point? When Jesus was on the boat with his disciples, he would charge them, don't be afraid. When they met him walking on the water, he said, do not be afraid, it is I. All right? So why did you doubt? Why did you fear? When Peter sank, the Bible says it was because of the fear. You see, all through, when God will show up before people, he said, do not be afraid. He told Abraham, do not be afraid. When Jesus was teaching disciples at a particular point in time, he told them, he said, fear not. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why should he say fear not? Because you see, when God wants to bless people, they have to take giant steps. When God wants to bless people, they have to go out of the comfort zone that they've had into newer realms of life. And then such times it will look like, there's cause for fear. In fact, why Jesus said that, fear not to disciples in that context, he said, because the next line it was that he told them, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. He was about to launch these people into bigger ministry. He said, all the things that are tying you back, you have to let them go. And for people have built their security in material things. People have built their security in the connections that they have. People have built their securities in bank accounts and investments. He says, sell all those things and give them out to the poor, that you can face what I want you to do squarely. That for that reason, the people were afraid. So he said to them, don't be afraid. It's the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. Now, please, notice what I'm saying here. You see, God is always warning people, don't be afraid. Fear is the first thing among the seven we're dealing with, but it's so important I want to go on talking about it again today. In fact, specifically today, I want to talk about the cure for fear, or why you should not be afraid. Listen, fear, Satan loves it. He knows with it you are defeated. In fact, a lot of people who claim they are preaching the gospel, they are just fear mongers. They are just going around scaring people. People, I've heard all kinds of preachings. He said, you are sleeping, your enemies are not sleeping. I said, that's their problem, they are sinners, they can't sleep. Do you understand my point? You shouldn't be asleep when your enemies are not asleep. Listen, I don't give a damn about my enemies that are not sleeping. The Bible says that in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. He said, you have to do something dangerous. Your enemies are sacrificing big things onto the altars against you. That's their personal problem. The greatest thing that can be sacrificed has been sacrificed in my favor. And that is a precious, sinless body of Christ and his blood that was shed. Are you getting my point? I'm trying to bring out something. If you're a preacher, please stop scaring people. Tell them the truth, all right? If a man is walking in sin, then tell him that is the thing he should be afraid of. But you shouldn't, I shouldn't go around being afraid of enemies or witches or people somewhere that don't like you. Do you get my point? Fear. We must not be fear mongers as preachers. We must be people of faith, impacting faith into the hearts of people. It says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Please get my point. Fear must not be allowed in your life. Fear not is a commandment from God. It's not advice, not admonition. God never gives advice. In fact, the word of God is not good advice. The word of God is an instruction. It is a commandment. And he said, fear not. Do you understand my point? I'm talking about the cure for fear, or why you should not be afraid. And that's something I'm bringing out here. That's why we read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31. You see that when Moses spoke there in that verse 8, he said, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Listen to me. God always gives us a reason why we shouldn't fear. When Jesus was speaking then, he said, fear not. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is, even though you are losing natural things, don't worry. God has something more precious to give you. God has given us the cure for fear. And what is that cure? It is his word. It is his promise. It is the promise of his ever abiding presence. You know, I told you before, I am not a motivational speaker. I'm a truth teller. I tell you the word of God, what he has said concerning you. I am happy he motivates a lot of people, because there are many people, giants out there. There are many people, champions that God created. There are many people, victorious
solution providers to the issues of life that fear has cowered them into a corner. And I'm giving you the word of the Lord again tonight. He said, don't be afraid, I am with you. Listen, that is the number one cure for fear. God said, for everyone who is my child, who has forsaken his sin and his iniquity, who has been washed by the precious blood of Jesus, I don't ever leave them. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, don't be afraid. Listen, with God, you have to walk boldly. Listen, don't try to play safe in life. Oh, let me just explain that to you. In life, you don't try to play safe. You know, I quoted Robert Kiyosaki the other day, and I want to say it again. He was talking about business and investment. He said a lot of people are always trying to be careful when they want to invest. He's not saying you should be rash in your investment. I'm going to tell you something about righteousness in a moment. All right? He said, for that reason, a lot of people never invest anything. Never step out boldly to start a business. The Robert Kiyosaki was talking, he said he has started 2 businesses that collapsed, but he had many more that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars today. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? What did he say? He said, I have seen many poor people who have never lost a dime, but I have never seen a rich man who have never lost money. Now listen, we're not talking about being careless. We're talking about taking the issues of life boldly. Do you get my point? Listen, the number one cure for fear is what I'm giving you again tonight. Don't forget, God is with you if you're a child of God. Your life is not an accident. In fact, that's the one thing I want you to understand, talking about this issue of boldness. You know, we pointed out something here in that Deuteronomy chapter 31. He spoke to Joshua publicly. He said, you must be strong and of good courage. You must go with these people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. What am I saying? Moses was telling Joshua, you have an assignment. Don't let fear cripple you from fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Look, that's very important. Now, one of the ways by which God will help you step out boldly is to give you this understanding. For you to understand that your life, all right, is an assignment. I like the way Ken Starr, who was an independent prosecutor at that time, during the days of the Monica Lewinsky saga under Bill Clinton's regime. He said, if you don't do it, you are damned. He was talking about prosecuting the president. He said, if you don't do it, you are damned. If you do it, you are damned. He said, therefore, do it and just damn the consequences. Now, what he was trying to say is that whichever one you do, you are in trouble. If you don't investigate this matter and try and get the matter before the Congress, they will say you are slopping your job. If you try and investigate it, they will say that you are trying to persecute the president. At the end of the day, what is he trying to say? Just do what you know is right to do, all right, and forget all the consequences. Now, please, you must understand this. If you see life as a purpose, the things we are saying you must step out boldly to do in life so as to prevent you from failing, all right, it's not just about yourself. That's why people think that, yes, I have saved enough money, now I have no problem concerning tomorrow, therefore I can rest. No. Listen to what Moses said to Joshua. He said, you are supposed to go out and help these people inherit the land. Oh God. Listen, people have said things to me. I trained as a medical doctor and I finished my postgraduate many years ago. Then people say, won't you go abroad? You can make more money. And I always laugh. I say, you don't understand. My life is not about me alone. I said it then. I said there are multitudes that their destiny will never manifest if I don't speak up. God has put a word of liberation in my mouth. He says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. You might say there is no water, there is no light, the roads are bad, the dollar is expensive. I said, but I still have to speak to the people the word of God. I cannot forsake speaking God's word because of personal comfort. Moses said to Joshua, this is your assignment in life. You must cause these people to inherit the land that God promised to their fathers. It is your job to cause them to inherit it. For that reason, you just have to be bold. For that reason, you just have to be courageous. He said, don't worry. God is with you as you fulfill this assignment. That's another issue, all right, concerning the cure for fear, the knowledge of destiny, recognizing that you are not an accident. You were born on purpose. God created you because there is something he wants to do in this life. When God was going to create, the Bible says that the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Every time God says something, the word goes out to go and create effect. And now listen to this. He said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. way. Now, what was he saying there? Now, that's in the chapter 1 of the book of John. He was speaking specifically concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember what Jesus said? As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. What am I saying? That same expression applies to the life of every believer. In fact, that is divine order of creation. When God wants to solve a problem, he speaks a word, and that word takes some flesh and is born by a pregnant woman. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, when God spoke a word, your mother gave birth to you, and the word he spoke was not go forth and go and enjoy. No, he said, there is darkness. I have spoken you as light into their darkness. So Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Do you get my point? Listen, don't be afraid to take that bold step. There are people listening to me tonight. You have worked comfortably in a job for many, many years. God said, listen, I have sustained you all these years. It is time for you to step out. It is time for you to step out. Become a job creator and give jobs to many. Listen, don't let security. Hey, listen. If you don't obey me, I will have you sacked. This is the opportunity to step out of that place with glory. This is the opportunity to step out of that place with self-respect intact. Otherwise, I will disgrace you. Because God says something to Jeremiah. He said, look at these people, they are tough. He said, don't be afraid of them. Don't be dismayed before them. He said, otherwise, I will disgrace you before them. That is the commandment of God to every one of his children. That is why I said fear. Listen, I said fear is one of the things that lead to failure. Because there's something about the fearful person. Even God is against him. That was what he told Jeremiah. God had told him, I am with you to deliver you. Therefore, do not be afraid. He said, but if you go there and you start knocking your knees and you're afraid of them, he said, then I will disgrace you before them. Are you getting my point? The fearful man, God is against him. All he wants for himself is comfort in life. He's not ready to take a bold step to affect his community. You know, this is the interesting part. There are many people, look at politics as an example. They look at one party, this party is very big. Even before the party came up, all right? They say, the politics is a dirty game. They say all kinds of things. Meanwhile, in their heart, God said, look, I have created you to be a governor. They know. Because I want to be a senator. I want to be a legislator. Okay, start in the council level. They say, you don't know those people are thugs. Yeah, I don't want anybody to go and kill me. And they keep on saying that and saying that. And God said, all right, don't worry. I will disgrace you. We'll see it one day. Then one day, really. One of the people who have taken the office he's supposed to have taken will have a problem with him and he will really, really disgrace him. He won't understand that is God's judgment. He said, no. If the people don't support you, what's going to happen? Listen to me. I always tell people that. If God calls you in your heart, he said, look, you are going to be a politician and I want you to be one day become a senator or a governor or a president. He said, how is it going to be? Listen, it's not necessary for you to ask those questions. When they are taking form, you don't have money to take the form for those who compete as senators or you are too young according to the constitution of Nigeria. Don't worry. Go to your local government. If you are living there right now and say, I want to be your counselor. You can pay for that form. Say, well, they may not support you. God didn't say, listen to me. God did not say win the election. All he said is contest. There is a world of difference. The last presidential election in Nigeria, do you know how many presidential candidates there were? Many of them, you never heard their name. Are you getting my point? There are many people who became governors just because they dared. I like the story of the current American president, Barack Obama. That's how he did his things. He just dared. He just dared. Listen, dare and forget the consequences. Are you getting my point? There's some of the principles against fear that I want you to imbibe. And that's this doctrine of if I perish, I perish. What does that mean? Is it not money I will lose? That's the worst that's going to happen. Listen, let me say this to you again boldly today. God said, I am with you to deliver you. I am watching over you with all my heart. I am watching over you with all my strength. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, they might rise up against you, but they will fall because of you. He said, am I not with you? Have I not called you? Listen, it's a matter of destiny we are talking about. You will never know you can do it until you dare. And I'm giving you as a challenge again. Start small wherever you are right now. I don't know why I just feel like giving that politics thing as an example. You don't stop sitting in your house and say, politics is a dirty game. Listen, my friend, there's no game that is dirty. There's none that is clean. It depends on who's playing it. You've seen football. There are those who never knock anybody down. They never get yellow cards. But there were those who got so many yellow cards, they had to start rewriting laws so that these people won't kill people on the pitch. Listen to me. If you want to play your game dirty, that's your problem. But if you decide you want to play a clean game, go in and play it and watch God walk on your side. Many people who could have achieved great things in life, they keep on giving excuses for Satan. Satan becomes stronger around them because they are afraid. Yet God said, I should tell you, I am with you to deliver you. Listen, Joshua, oh God, I want you to understand this. What was Joshua going to do more than just go to battle? He was a warrior, and the natural thing for a warrior to do is to go to battle. Listen to me, do that which is natural in your life. You want to be a local government councilor? Take form next election. I'm not in the ruling party, none of your business, doesn't matter. Just watch God do something, all right, on your side. He said, what if I don't win? You were not going there to go and win by force. You can lose, hear me, you can lose, but you will never know you can win until you contest. And let me tell you something. Abraham Lincoln, you heard the story, the great American president. More than 80% of the elections he contested before the one of presidency, he lost. Very funny man. He kept on going for the bigger ones. Until finally he contested as president and he won. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? God said, don't worry. Just go out. You see, one of the principles I like most in the scriptures is the one that Paul was teaching in the book of, in 1 Corinthians. He said, I, Paul, planted. Apollos watered. God gave the increase. This is how I like to explain it. That God never called you in life to get results. He just called you to dare. He called you to obey. He called you to step out. What was Paul saying? All I need to do is plant. God gives the increase. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, I'm talking about the cure for fear. Number one, remember there is a commandment. The word of God is a commandment and a promise. He said, I'm with you to deliver you. Therefore, he commanded, said, don't be afraid. And I'm repeating it to you today. You are not alone. Number two, knowledge of destiny. You must understand it that, look, you are doing what you are doing as a matter of destiny. This is the reason, all right, why I was born. There was a discussion which I've used to illustrate this a number of times. It happened between my mother and I. She asked me a question sometimes. She said, what about that kind of, what about this practice you used to do? I said, oh, no, I don't do it anymore. I said, but you used to get you some money. I said, but mommy, I don't have the time anymore. So what do you do with your time? I said, I do ministry work. I said, but ministry doesn't give you money. I said, well, that's the reason why we were born. That's the reason why God allowed you to give birth to me. I said, will we say, listen, that we will not do the work for which we were born because it is not bringing us money. Listen, that was the same thing that happened to Jesus Christ. Listen, when Jesus contemplated the cross, listen, fear, look, to be afraid, to have cause for fear for a moment is not the problem. There are things out there that make people want to be afraid. That's why you need a word like this to give your heart confidence. Jesus looked at the cross and said, will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, but for this cause I came to this hour. Yes, the cross is hard. Yes, the cross is painful. He said, but that was the reason why I was born in the first place, and that was the reason why I lived long enough to arrive at today. Do you get the point? So I said to my mother, I said, what shall we do then? This is the reason why we were born. We must preach this gospel. But listen to me. God said, I have not asked the children of Israel to save me for nothing. He said, but I promised them a reward. And the word of the Lord came powerfully to me, saying, that was from Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I know that God will never disappoint me. Therefore, I face his business. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. What happened to my children? Listen, God has their backs. God is. He said, I will save your children. That was the word God even gave. Not only will I save you, I will save your children. Not only will I make you prosper, I will make your children also prosper. That is the word of God. And I want you to understand that. That is the second cure for fear, the knowledge of destiny. And then let me not forget this. You know, I said something earlier. When it appears like there is cause to be afraid, there's a scripture I want you to know. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, let me quickly explain that as I close. All right? Now, listen, there are times there are causes for fear in life. Look, I'm not telling you that, look, just close your eyes, there's no problem. No, you look at where the problems might be, and you do like Hezekiah. You take those things before God in prayer. That's what was being said here in the book of Hebrews. That you pray. Look, listen, when the cross was hard for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he did? He told the disciples, wait here and pray with me. Let me go forward and pray. And he went and prayed. Listen, there are two ways to pray. One right, the other one wrong. There is a wrong one in which you go and say, God, me, this is too hard. I don't think I want to do it. There is one in which you go and say, Lord, I know I have to do this, but it is hard. Help me that I might do it because it must be done. Listen, Jesus kept on praying until confidence came upon his soul, and he came out and told his disciples, "Come, let us go. Let us go and face the cross. Let's go and face the Romans. Let's go and face the beating. Let's go and face the torture. Now we can take it." Because before then, the Bible said the angels came and they strengthened him. Are you getting what I'm going to make? That is, I'm giving you another cure for fear. That's the third one. The power of prayer. Don't run. Pray. Don't run. Pray. Shout to God and say, "Lord, it is tough, but I know I can make it according to the promise of your word. Pour the spirit of the triumphant soul into me that I might face the challenges of life and not be afraid. God, I come before your throne. I cannot do these things on my own. Be with me as you have promised." Listen, go back every day that you see cause for fear. When you go out and they say that companies are collapsing, go back home and go and pray. When you go out and tell you that, "Look, gunshots were flying," go back home and go and pray. Whatever it is, don't change your mind concerning where you are going. Listen, that is the beauty of being a child of God. That is the advantage of knowing God, the creator of the universe. He has all powers in his hands. And he's saying, "I will release that power on your behalf anytime you call upon me. Call upon me," he said, "in the time of trouble, and I will answer you and I will deliver you." Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, faith doesn't mean I just go, "Bro, I don't know there's anything happening out there. I don't care about the problems in life. I can't notice them." Listen, a man of faith notices the problems. If you go and study the book of Romans chapter 4, the Bible says that Abraham contemplated his body, but he refused to be discouraged. Because there was a promise of God. That's what you use promises for. You take the promise before God in prayer and say, "Lord, this is what you said. This is where I'm going. You said you are with me to deliver me. You said nothing shall by any means hurt me. You said that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people." Listen to me. When you continually pray like that, there will be strength and confidence built into your heart. And last of all, don't forget that cure for fear. Once you have, you see, because you know we said the other time, he said, "He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." That is, when I'm doing what is right, oftentimes it appears like I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It looks like I'm about to be destroyed. It looks like my investment is about to be lost. It looks like my company is about to collapse. What do you do? Listen. Go and review. Now, this is what is important, because there are many reasons why troubles come in life. One of them is when you are doing what is wrong. God can use troubles to show you. So when you are discovering troubles coming up ahead, you go and review how you got there. If it was in the path of righteousness, what that simply means, if you did everything that was right according to the knowledge that you have of God, and your conscience is not in your body, you know, say that thing is not correct. When you have reviewed it, there is a path of righteousness that brought you to that point. You will look like Esther and say, "If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish." Listen, take the money as an example. I always tell investors, don't worry. Businessmen, don't be afraid. Just like a preacher gets up to preach, and if people are not saved, it is not his problem. He has done what God said he should do. You too, do everything you know that is right. I'm not saying throw money away. Use all your sound judgment and then invest. If tomorrow the whole country collapses, it's not your fault. You are working as a servant of God. Use that attitude and you'll discover that fear will not be in your life. Those are the four things. As cure for fear that I have presented today. Please don't forget, you cannot afford to be afraid. You cannot afford to be dismayed. You cannot afford to be discouraged. Because not only with problems come upon you, God himself will become your adversary. He said, "These children of Ephraim, though they were armed, I gave them the weapons of war." He said, "But in the days of battle, they turned back and they broke my covenant." Listen, are you a child of God? You are in covenant with him to serve him. He said, "I will spare you like a man spares his son that saves him." It's not just about being a child of God. Get up boldly, move in life. You will not fail, because God indeed is with you.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.